So I have good listening ears today. So there you have it. Best laid plans. Just hang on. Best laid plans. We can only do what we can do, and God still hears our praises and our worship. And Eugene might have to yell this morning, but.
Okay, me too.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can be here worshiping you today. Even though technology isn't doing what we want it to do, you know where our hearts are. You know what we need to hear. I just ask that you help our ears to hear the message that you have for each of us. Be with Eugene as he speaks. Give him recall. Give him peace. Help him to remember what you told him to speak to us today, and just help it to reach us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Testing. How are we doing back there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, thank you. Thank you for preparing our hearts. And now for a little bit of insights, hopefully, in a scripture. Scripture comes rather abruptly. It's like if you just stepped in here and says, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. You're probably wondering, where is he going with this? We're going to walk you up to that because we're going through the letter of Colossians. Carl has led us to this point. And so we're dealing with segments that was written a long time ago for the people at Colossae, the believers in Colossae. And we're looking at how can we apply those principles or insights in our daily living. So you see a slide in front of you there. I think this is a safe place to talk. There's three letters there. By the end of this brief moment, I hope there will be at least three things you can take with you if you forget everything else that's in between. And you've got a lot of space in your bulletin. There are pencils and pens in the pew. So I would encourage you to write these three letters down. And if somebody asks you what happened at church today, just say, "What?" It's "What." The W stands for what. So write the word what down. The next word is understand. And the third one is how. So when we leave here today, the whole idea is how. How do we take the next step? Go ahead and pull up the next slide. Like I said, I'd kind of walk us trying to catch everybody up or refresh your mind. And I just picked out six segments, I think, that deal with preparing our heart. And again, this is a letter to the faithful in Colossae, encouraging them in the early birth of the church to really provide redirection in their life. So we find in chapter 2, verse 6, he's offering direction as he's writing this letter. And remind you, he's in prison. He hasn't even met these people, but he's had a complete 180 in his life, and he's speaking from the heart, and he's all fired up and concerned about them. And hopefully it comes along that I feel the same way. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. You made a decision, so live with him. And he goes on a little bit further in the letter to be speaking of being alive in Christ. So he begins with, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. We get caught around so much around us here. Then he moves on and say, now focus. Remember the one passage of sermon was to focus on Jesus. For you died, for you got rid of the old way, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The next step is to put on a new self. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you've made a decision. Now you're part of God, holy and dearly loved. Doesn't that sound warming? Wrapped in there. Now clothe yourselves individually with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, And patience. Let's just think about those qualities. Can we all identify how important those are in our individual lives and what degree of development they are? So he's saying here, make these a part of you. And then after having got to this point, he says, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God be in charge. Let the peace of God be dominant. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, your innermost being. And that becomes who you are inside out. So now today, how do we live with others and maintain the look of Jesus within us? So that's kind of how we got to this point. And so, not that one. Don't have the one in between? Okay. All right. Y'all have both, right? There's three pairs in here that he uses as examples. Refer to that. And I know when you heard that passage read, you're going, well, okay, where's Bontrager going with this one? So. The first pair is dealing with wives and husbands. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. And husbands, hey, we're going to flip it around. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. This gets a feeling like, hey, we're talking about people that are married. Reality is not everybody's married. So those people that are sitting in here single, it's like, why should I listen to this? But he's just merely saying, this is an example. Wives and husbands in this culture, in our own setting, he makes a point here. He's talking about commitment. That's our aim, our underlying theme is a commitment in our relationship. When Barb and I became engaged, you know, you're young in your 20s, and it's like you think you got this whole life ahead of you. And we made a decision, and I don't know who suggested it, but anyways, you know, you send out announcements. We had a picture in there and some words. It said, each for the other, and you opened it up. It said, both for the Lord. Little did I know how important that decision was. And so, you know, there were twists and turns in our life. There have been life events. And when you take those vows, we used to practice them, insert other words that maybe weren't fitting, you know, like, I love you till death do us part, and fit and thin, and rich and poor, and bad health, good health, all that. And finally we decided we better stick to the script so it doesn't come out wrong. But anyways, we went through all those experiences. And I can say we still work at it hard. God is ultimate in our relationship. And maybe you can claim the same thing because twists and turns come along the way. It requires qualities of respect, listening, leading, visionary, attention to each other, balancing out responsibilities, raising a family. But it doesn't always come out that way. So today is full of more examples of windows rather than dissecting the text completely apart into something that it maybe isn't there. On Monday, a gentleman came to the office, and this one has a different outcome. He needed to make an appointment to adjust with a plan, and the plan was, had a 529 plan. You all know what that is? College planning. So it kind of goes back to when the first child was 1 year old, a seed was put. Say, Grandpa said, here, get started on something. Maybe one of your kids want to go to college. So anyway, we came in and made adjustments on that. My first question was, how's work going? He just said, good. Well, doing good. We got settled in our place, and I said, next I asked, how are you doing? He goes, not so well. And then he began sharing. He said, well, you know, I got a child in high school yet. We got one in college and one in high school. But just recently, a few days ago, I received orders for divorce. And I go, whoa, you're a faith-based home. And you really appear to be really strong in your faith. What's going on here? And he went on and described, he didn't know how this, but he said, we're gradually going like this. And he said, you know, despite all the pain that I'm still trying to uphold Christ in my life. I said, how are you handling that? He says, I feel like God's not hearing me. I said, it's okay to cry out. I got to those points in my life. I was like, God, can't you hear this? I can't handle this anymore. And he says, I did. I cried out, where are you? I need you. I need your help with decisions. I need answers. And right now, I am so discouraged. I don't know which way to turn. He looked at me and he said, Gene, he said, something just happened. I had my head down and my cell phone sounded off with, here comes a text. I didn't look. Another one came and a third one came in. And then I decided to look, and I opened it up. Each one was a message of encouragement. Guess God heard me. And then I thought about this moment for him. Now, what just happened here? Sure, the emphasis here is to put Christ first in your relationship, but he also put Christ first in his dilemma. In his situation. Now, in your bulletin, you've got little phrases there with blanks. So I would suggest that first one you write in, put Christ first in my marriage. That's what Paul's trying to say to the people at Colossae, and I believe if we take that principle, put Christ first in your marriage. Then he goes on to another pair and says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Boy, I wish the kids were in here. I got something for them. Anyways, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Why didn't he say mothers? But I'd like to insert that too, because the whole focus is on children and parents. The instructions are for children to listen and to respect and obey your parents, especially the emphasis here is fathers dealing with your children at their level of understanding. And then I had to think physically. Okay, here we are. Tall, stature, children's down here, so the authority and power is down. And it's like, you listen as I tell you to, and we expect that respect come. So if you kneel down, you're kind of on their level. And when you look a person in the eye, they're kind of better communication. But, you know, there are those that are kind of on the cutting edge. They take you to the nth degree. And so we want our children to respect us so that we can train them, because what we're doing is for life. And so in our small group this Wednesday, I raised the question. Those of you who are here might understand why. What's the sibling order in your family? Sometimes that makes a difference who you are and how you respond. You know, every parent needs to start somewhere. I look at you guys over here. How'd you handle that first child? First child coming through. It's your first time around, so. And I think the oldest child, sooner or later, realizes, hey, this is mom and dad's first time around. We had that in our family, I'm telling you. We had four kids. But, you know, there came a season in time when I absolutely became frustrated because Well, let's go back to verse 21. It says, fathers, don't provoke your children. Well, we had fun with that word in our group, provoke. But you know, some other translations say, exasperate your children. Now that's pushing them over the edge to the nth degree, so that maybe it's your way and you're not hearing who they are. Don't push it that far. Well, I got to the point, I was frustrated with the oldest one, and I think she cared enough because she was just turning early teenage years, and she gave me a book. Guess what the title of the book was? Firstborn. Dad, you need to read something other than what you already think you know. Paul is trying to say here to us as parents and to children, put Christ first in your family. So that would be the second line. Put Christ first in your family. Let's not make it any more than what it really is. I think that's what Paul is trying to say here. The second pairing is, bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. The NIV translation says, and others as well, say, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. I think when the word slave is used, we kind of get a negative connotation in there. And the Old Testament is full of the Israelites being kept in captivity as slaves. We've even had strong experience in our country during the Civil War prior to that, slaves. And we can find it in other parts. But this particularly, I think the correct translation is, as you find it in the ESV that Carl has asked us to look at, is bond servants. Let me just clarify what a bond servant is. You might know, but it's typically somebody that works for a master or somebody that's in charge because they have a debt. They have a debt to be paid off. There's no exchange of wages. It's like, here, you owe these $10,000 and you're going to work for me until that's chiseled off. So that's the context of this pairing here. And so, but you know, the master was often looked up to with respect. And sure, the same responsibility here is the master could go way out of line. But typically, there was a support and a promise that this relationship was very important. But as you catch in there, it says, those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service. What does that mean? Well, I came across this example where a missionary had gone to Africa, and he told Mr. Stedman he was responsible to get the nationals in his area to do certain jobs. And they discovered they were rather lazy. And they would only perform when he was watching them. And when he left, they would stop working. Does that happen around your work environment? Well, he had a glass eye. And one day that sucker was irritating him, so he took it out. And he put it on a stump in the area. Well, he got pulled away, and he actually left that thing there while the people were working. And when he returned, he found everybody was still working. The eye, as they thought, was still watching them the whole time while he was away. That's really what Paul's talking about here. In our context today, we would talk about as employee-employer relationship, working. When the boss is behind the other wall in the inside, do the employees slough off? He's saying here, it's not about showing, it's about sticking to what your commitment is. So I would say his emphasis again here is putting Christ first, and your third line is put Christ first in your work. So if you take these three things and put them together, these are examples that Paul is trying to drive forward and saying, here, I've led you to this point through this letter of encouragement. Individually, you need to clothe yourselves with these extreme good qualities. Elevate Christ. Don't look back. Keep looking forward. Keep Christ up here. And now as you relate, because we are with people, whether we're married, whether we're not, we're with people in here. We encourage in our families, nieces and nephews, and friends, and work environment. Just the whole thing is to put Christ first in what we do. And then we look on to verse 4. I'm going to look at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, masters, provide your bondservants. Treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now that I gave you that definition of bondservant, think about his whole context here. It's like we have a debt because of our sin, our shortfall, and our master. And so we need, through putting Christ first, because of the price that he's paid, that's paying attention to the principle for our today. I'm going to come back to the who, the what. If you want to write down what's going on today, we need to pay attention to relationships. That's what the focus is today. Pay attention to relationships. And understand as the world may see things and relationships as hopeless. But Christ is the one who provides hope. And the how, if you remember this, put Christ first in your relationships or in your circumstances. It's not a difficult day to grasp this insight. Just a tweaking, working it. This is a part of a letter. And you'll see that next Sunday, we wrap it up with the importance of prayer in all this. I'd like to kind of encapsulate this with the following example that happened in Thursday. And Vicki, you said you were praying for me. So interesting. Monday I had one example. Thursday is the rest of the story for us. Another gentleman came to deal with me about next steps with his portfolio. I asked the same question. How's your work going? This was really important. It wasn't just a casual question, because a few years ago he had a major setback due to health. He had to miss 6 months of work. And he was the only one working in the household, and it was just an important part of the equation. They had to make some major changes, and to navigate through that twist and turn, it took a couple of us to help be involved. He responded, good. And I go, awesome, because I know how deep it was before. He said, I'm doing better. Then we went on, did our business together for a moment. And then we were done. We just stood and we took the time to talk and update each other. And the conversation led into the times of which many of us are experiencing right now. Security breaches and scams, telephone calls, Social Security calling, no, you know, they never call. But this one, it's so important to protect our identity and profiles. He said, I got annoyed with them. Some of them were of a different nature. He said, for him, the ones that were calling, well, we want to put in a security system in your home. And he said, so due to my annoyance, I decided, I know a little bit of Dutch. So I just talked back in Dutch whenever they called. I went along with it. Sorry, I can't understand you. And he responded in Dutch, and finally they hung up. So he thought maybe that took care of it. Well, it didn't. So he said, I thought through this. He was a little slow in processing, and finally he said, I took another approach. So the phone rang. I could tell it was from the same thing. And I decided to go along with the caller. And finally I got to the point, well, let's gather some personal information to qualify the installation of your security system. And best of all, we can lock in your rate for 24 months. Did y'all hear that before? For 2 years. Finally he said, I already have one. Really? How much is left on your time commitment? It's for life. The rest of my life. That's not possible. Yes, it is. Jesus Christ is my security system. He said, before I could go any further, there was a bunch of mumbling going on, and click. And I go, the message today is to put Christ first. Maybe we pass up opportunities to really let others know. But just over the phone, what a powerful example. Putting Christ first in his situation. Now let's put Christ first in ours. Could we have the final slide? Paul has this verse in here. He has some other references to some of his other letters. But it says, whatever you do. It didn't say what with some condition. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, with all your innermost being, as working for the Lord, not for others. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ who is master. We are the bondservants. Keep that in our mind. How do we go from here, put Christ first in whatever we're doing? I'll pause here. They'll come up and have a doxology, then I'll have a benediction. Let these words rest on your heart. I invite you to stand. And if anybody would like some prayer afterward to help, just say, help me realign, put Christ first in my circumstance. Some of us will hang out up here and guide you through that. But for parting, God, sometimes we try to look good for some people. And at home and at work, we sometimes act less than disciples of Jesus. So forgive us. So now work in our hearts and attitudes so that we might reflect your glory in our homes, in our offices, in schools, in shops. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.